Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 4. In verse 31, they having prayed, and this is, of course, talking about disciples, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. That's some powerful prayer life. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Why did they speak the word of God with boldness? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why were they filled with the Holy Spirit? Because they had prayed. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is one of the most important things a believer can do in order to have the right experiences in life. We're not made to go through life on our own. The reason why the world is in the mess that it is in is because people try to go through life without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests the love of God. The world is not manifesting the love of God. The world is a very destructive place. All kinds of wicked things are going on in the world because Satan is the god of this world system. Satan is not afraid of the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, he went toe-to-toe with Jesus quoting scriptures. Now, granted, he was twisting those scriptures, misusing them, but he wasn't afraid of them. The fact that a person may know a lot of the Bible is important for other reasons, but it's not going to give them the experience that God has intended for them. They won't enjoy the life of God or the fullness of God just by knowing scriptures. What they need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then He's going to empower me for something. What happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? They preached the word with boldness. There was a lot of certainty in what they were saying. Sometimes people approach the word of God, even preachers, with a lot of anxiety and insecurity. If a preacher is filled with the Holy Spirit, he's not going to be insecure and he's not going to have anxiety about what he says. If he's talking from himself, then that's one thing. Then everybody should be insecure if it's coming from themselves. But if it's coming from the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has filled him, then he's going to be very confident in what he's saying because he's going to know the source of what he's saying. For example, when I deliver a message, I'm not making it up. You turn to the Word of God, and then you listen to the Holy Spirit. Every good preacher will do that. That's not just our church. That's in every church where you have a good preacher. They'll turn to the Word of God, and then they listen to the Holy Spirit. As the message is being delivered, he's listening to the Holy Spirit. He's not telling you his own thoughts. He's telling you the Holy Spirit's thoughts. There's actually a part of the brain, this has been scientifically documented. They did scans of the brain as people were, for example, praying. And there's a part of the brain that becomes very active when we're fellowshipping or hearing from or engaged in some way with God. That part of the brain is not active at other times. Only when they've engaged with God. And so, there's a literal connection that we have to God when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He empowers us unto something. He gives us the ability for whatever it is that we're facing. Now, in their case, they were facing a situation where the Word of God needed to be preached. And so he gave them the ability to preach it. In the Old Testament, when the craftsmen were building the various things for the temple, and those guys were brilliant craftsmen. Some of them were woodworkers, some of them were stone cutters. These various people who had these amazing skills. And they were the ones building the temple. The Holy Spirit came on them and He gave them the ability to practice their skills to the highest quality level. So the Holy Spirit will always empower you to do whatever it is that needs to be done. What we want to do is we want to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how did they get filled? They prayed. It's not hard to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every morning when you get up, first thing before you even roll out of bed, very quickly, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you that day. It's that simple. The reason why you want to ask is because God will not impose Himself on you. God is very gentle. God will respect that you have a free volition, that you're able to choose. And if you want to make choices that are opposite to what He wants, that are against what He would have for your life, He'll allow you to do that. Now, granted, He'll also allow you to face the consequences, but He will allow you to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to be Spirit-filled. Because when you're Spirit-filled, God will give you the ability for whatever it is that you have to deal with. In order to be Spirit-filled, you really do want to be Word-filled also. And the reason is because you can think of the Word of God as the language of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you don't have the Word of God, it's not that He won't help you. It's not that He won't be present. It's not that He won't do things for you. It's that He won't be able to communicate with you very clearly. People who don't have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will sometimes initiate to them, but in very general terms. It's almost like you're in a foreign country and you know that the waitress just brought you your dinner. You can't communicate with her. You pointed to the menu to show her what you wanted. You really didn't know what you were getting. And she brings you the dinner and you just smile and nod at her and she smiles and nods at you, and that's all the communication you're going to have. But if you have the Word of God, then God can speak to you very clearly because you speak the same language. And so being filled with the Holy Spirit is not necessarily dependent on the Word of God. But in order for it to become really effective, it is dependent on the Word of God. If I have the mind of God and the Spirit of God, then there's nothing that a person like that can't do. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual. Now, the word law there is not actually law. It's more of an old English sort of a way of putting it. It's the word nomos, and it's talking about precepts from the Word of God, what we call doctrine, categorical doctrine. We know that doctrine, teaching from the Word of God, is spiritual. In other words, we know it comes from the Holy Spirit. But I'm carnal. That means I have an old sin nature. I'm not always filled with the Holy Spirit. If I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, then my old sin nature will take over. There's only two options, one or the other. It's going to be one or the other. So I'm either going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or my old sin nature is in charge. When my old sin nature is in charge, it's no fun. The old sin nature, there's nothing it cannot totally mess up. But the Holy Spirit, He'll guide me in all truth. He'll take care of me. He'll give me wisdom when I need wisdom. He'll give me ability when I need ability. He'll give me whatever I need whenever I need it. This is true for every Christian. This is true for you guys. The Holy Spirit will provide everything that you need. What you want to make sure is that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit Spirit lives inside of us. So it seems kind of like a strange thing if we're born again to say we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's already living inside of us. So what does it exactly mean? Well, that's what Romans 7 is talking about. I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. In other words, what I want to do, I don't do it. But what I hate, that's what I do. That's a guy who's struggling with his old sin nature. In verse 23, he says, I see another law in my members, that is, in my body, warring against the law of my mind. And so he's got these two things going on in himself. He's got the Word of God, and he's got the Holy Spirit on the one hand, but he's not Spirit-filled. So his old sin nature keeps giving him all kinds of problems, all kinds of struggles, because the old sin nature has a very large part of his life under control. And he's wrestling with himself. Well, James 1:8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why? He's got the mind of the old sin nature, and he's got the mind of the Holy Spirit, and they're at war with each other. You don't want to be in that position. That's a person who's not filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you are filled to the point of complete influence, and that he becomes your complete supply for everything. So it's not like the Holy Spirit's not present inside of you when you're carnal. He is. But he's quenched. In other words, you go over here, Holy Spirit. I'm doing my own thing. That has bad results. That is a surefire way to blow it. You don't want to do that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has free reign in your life. That he can do what he wants to do. When he can do what he wants to do, you get maximum benefit. Because he's doing it on your behalf. He's doing it for you. Remember, he loves you. He came in to dwell with you, to live inside of you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always looking out for your interests. And so when he's in there and he's active so that he can help you, so that he can benefit you. Sometimes people think that he's in there to benefit God. No, he's there to benefit you. He is God. There's nothing that he requires. There's nothing that he needs. There's nothing we can give him. He is there because he loves us. He's there because he loves us and he wants to benefit us. He wants to help us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to take care of us because he loves us. And so to be Spirit-filled means the Holy Spirit gets his way in your life. The Holy Spirit is not obstructed through whatever my opinion happens to be. That's part of why the Word of God is important, to have a real good flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because if I don't have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is doing something, then my own natural thinking is going to take over and I'm going to resist the Holy Spirit. And that gives me trouble. You want to let the Holy Spirit have free reign. When the Holy Spirit has free reign, there's no end to what God can do with you. There's no end to what God can do for you. You want to have, and this is true with a lot of people, you want to have a fun, exciting, fulfilling, worthwhile, meaningful life that has real purpose. The way you get there is by being Spirit-filled. If a person is not Spirit-filled, it's always for the same basic reason. Now, that has a lot of different results, but the underlying reason is always the same. They're self-oriented. If I'm self-oriented, I will obstruct what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. I'll put my opinion above him. I'll put my own thoughts above him. I'll walk by sight and not by faith. And I'll always get in the way of what he's trying to do. The best thing I can do in my own life is get out of his way. If I can get out of his way, there's no end to where he'll take me. There's this bumper sticker. It makes me laugh and kind of sad at the same time. It says, God is my co-pilot. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker? God is my co-pilot. I always think to myself, if God is your co-pilot, you're going to crash. Why would that be? That means you've got too much control. You're the pilot. He's the co-pilot. You've got too much control. You're too much in charge. If you're the pilot, he's the co-pilot, then he has to do what you tell him. You're going to crash. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes I'll ask people to challenge them a little bit. Is God an important part of your life? And they usually say yes. And I'll say, you're in trouble. And they don't get it. God's not a part of my life. God is my life. If God is a part of my life, then so is this cup. If God is a part of my life, then so are my circumstances. If God is a part of my life, so are my problems. Because there's a lot of room for a whole lot of other stuff that doesn't belong. If God is my life, there go the problems. There go the circumstances. There go all the things that plague people. If God is my life. He's not a part of anything. He is the entire thing. As a matter of fact, you're a part of God's life. Because you are the body of Christ. It's not the other way around. Every born of again believer is the body of Christ. You're a part of God's life. And He is your complete life. If you try to step away from that, God will allow it, but the consequences are rough. Because if I cut off my finger, it's not going to feel good. And the finger's going to die. The rest of the body will continue, but the finger's going to die. Well, I don't want to cut myself off by not being Spirit-filled. Because the Spirit of God is where the life of God flows. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, he's realizing a very important reality. And this is according to Ephesians 2:15 and 16. That we were actually on the cross with Christ. That seems hard for people to understand because they don't understand the nature of time. They think time is a timeline and it all moves in one direction. But that's not what time is. That's our experience of time. But that's not what time is. It's like being in a car. You have an experience regarding your car, but there's a whole lot more to the car than just your experience. My experience with the car is I turn on the engine, I put it in gear, I step on the gas, and it goes wherever I turn the steering wheel. What happens all of a sudden when the engine won't turn on? Then all of a sudden I realize there's a whole lot more to the car than my experience. It's like that with time. There's a whole lot more to time than your experience. And because of that, it is actually true. We, even in this age, have been crucified with Christ. Because of the way time works, it's possible. And God says it happened. We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet it's not us that are living. It's Christ that lives in us. Now remember, there's no difference actually between Christ and the Holy Spirit living in you. It's all one God. It's simply the representation that's taking place at the moment, but it's all one God. So, I have the life of the Holy Spirit in me, and that life will flow in me when I'm Spirit-filled. If I get in His way by living in my old sin nature, then the life won't flow. And that's where things like misery and negativity and all kinds of problems crop up. When the life of God won't flow because I'm stifling it. It will flow if I get out of the way. Don't be a plug for the life of God. Sometimes people are, but don't be a plug for the life of God. Let the life of God flow inside of you. And the way you do that is you get out of His way. You ask Him to fill you. You have the attitude that Jesus said, Father, Your will, not mine. Sometimes people don't like that too much. But that's really where freedom comes in. That's where joy comes in. That's where all the good stuff in life comes in. Father, Your will, not mine. It's a little bit different than what the world teaches us. But then again, the world is wrong. The way that God says it is always right. In Galatians 5:16, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit by being responsive to Him and controlled and guided by the Spirit. And then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the old sin nature. For the desires of the old sin nature are opposed to the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Holy Spirit are opposed to the old sin nature. For these are antagonistic. They are against each other. They're at war together. They're continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, when God is our best friend. We get in His way. We say, I'm going to do it my way. We say, I'm going to walk by sight. We say, I don't need to have faith. We say, I don't need the Word of God. We say, I can do whatever I want to do. I have that liberty. Yeah, you have the liberty, and then God gives you the consequences. Remember, your choices are yours. The consequences are God's. You have all these things you tell yourself. But the truth of the matter is, life is found in God. Joy is found in God. Pleasure is found in God. Yes, even pleasure. Pleasure is found in God. All the things that humans desire is actually found in God. When they get away from Him, they don't know where to find it. When you look to God to get it, that's where you receive it. Being filled with the Holy Spirit allows God to give you all the things that fulfill you, that make your life quality, the things that help you. I remember so many times in college, I would have several tests in one day, especially like midterms and exams. Anybody who's been to college knows exactly what I'm talking about. You have three final exams in a day. And you're supposed to prepare for this? Seriously? How in the world do you possibly begin to do that? Sometimes people cram for exams for a week and it still doesn't work. There's so much material to review. I did really well in college. I'm not trying to boast, but I did really well in college. I didn't do it because I have a brilliant mind or anything like that. I did it because I asked the Holy Spirit to help me. And He made me remember things that I had no idea I even learned. I remember this one course I took. And we had to deal with all this technology. And I'm not a technology person. Technology is not my thing. And certain technology, they're talking and it's like, okay, what language is this? Chinese? And I had no idea what they were talking about, and I had no idea how to do what I needed to do. I remember the final exam. The final exam said, describe how you would use this technology, this program, this application, to come to this result. I had no idea how to do that. And I'm sitting there looking at this, and I said, did we ever learn this? And so I prayed. And about 15 seconds after I prayed, I knew exactly how to do it. I didn't know that before, and honestly, I didn't know that after either. But I knew for that little bit of time where I needed to write it down, I knew exactly what I needed to know to do it. How did that happen? To this day, I couldn't do it again. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so incredibly helpful. And He's amazingly kind. If you ask Him, He will help you. If you ask Him, He'll take care of you. If you ask Him, He'll take care of you. You need to know something, ask Him. He knows everything. You just ask Him. The other day, I had left my computer mouse in my shirt pocket because I was carrying my computer and a bunch of other things into my office from the living room. And I had forgotten that I left it in my pocket. And I took my shirt off because it was warm and I just wore my t-shirt. And I couldn't remember the next day where the mouse was. And I was looking all around the computer. I was looking in my computer bag. I could not find it anywhere. I thought maybe it fell under something. Nope, maybe it was nothing. I could not find it anywhere. And I even said to my wife, have you seen my mouse? Because I can't find it anywhere. And she said, no, I haven't seen it. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, where is my computer mouse? And it usually takes about 15 seconds. And about 15 seconds later, I knew exactly where it was. He's just really practical. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is extremely helpful. And it's something that every believer can do. He's available to every believer. If you're born again, He lives inside of you. And He is very willing, actually really desires, to help you with absolutely everything. And He will give you the ability toward absolutely everything if you're Spirit-filled. Just ask Him, Holy Spirit, fill me. Got a question? Holy Spirit, what's the answer? Got to do something that you don't know how to do? Holy Spirit, help me figure this out. It works every time. It's amazing how kind and how faithful He is. It works every time. Need money and you don't have any? Holy Spirit, I need some money. I'll never forget. Now, this has been a long time ago, but it's stuck in my memory pretty good. I was at Denny's, which is mostly closed now in this area, but there's still one left that I know of. But we were at Denny's, which is like this family-style restaurant. And I was there with a bunch of missionaries. And one of the missionaries, I didn't know this, but apparently he didn't have any money. And the Holy Spirit says, give him $5. You can see how long ago it was when you could buy a dinner for $5. He said, give him $5. I said, God, I don't know if I have $5. He said, you have 15. Give him $5. I opened up my wallet. I have 15 bucks in there. I had no idea I had 15 bucks in there. I had a 10 and a 5. I gave him the 5. And that day, I was going to be driving quite a ways later on that evening. And I said, God, I'm going to need that $5 back for gas money. Before I left for my trip, somebody gave me $5. I mean, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. He'll never sell you short. You'll never be left without. I remember we were in Rome for a conference. And in the evening, and we did this two nights in a row. One of the time was with one of the guys at the conference, and the next night was with my wife. We did this two nights in a row. We went out in the evening, and the first night we went to the Colosseum, and the second night to the Colosseum and other places, but we thought we would do it smarter. And the first night we went to the Colosseum kind of late, because I was into photography and the other guy was an artist. And so we thought we'd go to the Colosseum and get some pictures of it at night, because it's supposed to be really pretty. And it was. It was really quite spectacular. And we get out of the subway in front of the Colosseum, and the subway station's across the street from the Colosseum. And we get out and we hear these chains behind us. And they're locking the door to the subway station. How are we going to get back? We figured, okay, this is the Colosseum. There's bound to be a cab come by. We were there for 2 hours. Not one single car passed by. Rome at night is absolutely asleep. Nothing is happening at night. So for 2 hours we're there. Nothing is happening. And I asked the guy, his name was Bob. I said, Bob, have you noticed that there's no cars come by? He said, yeah, I did. And so we said, let's pray. And so we prayed. And in front of the Colosseum, there's this large area. It looks like a monstrous-sized parking lot, almost like you would have a football stadium here. It's not a parking lot, but it looks like one. And so we walk across this lot to the sidewalk where the street is, and just as soon as we get to the sidewalk, the very first car all night that passes by is an empty cab. And we're able to stop him, and he takes us back to our hotel. The next night we decide with my wife, okay, we're going to go out again, but this time we're going to be smarter. We're going to go out before the subway closes. And so we went out, and sure enough, the subway hadn't closed yet. We hung out. We walked around Rome, which is just really gorgeous. And we went back in the subway station on our way back to the hotel, and we get out at the station, and we don't recognize anything anywhere. We have no idea where this is. It's the same subway station, at least we thought, that you get off at to catch the bus to go to the hotel. Didn't see any bus stops. Didn't see nothing. And so we kind of look at each other and we start walking. We have no idea what direction we're going in. And finally, after about, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, half hour, a bus comes by and we jump on the bus. Now, this bus can go absolutely anywhere, but we asked God to help us. This bus can go absolutely anywhere in Rome. We have no idea whatsoever where this bus is going. It could have taken us 20 miles away from our destination for all we knew. It was going right by the hotel. I always said it, God takes care of the dumb. The Holy Spirit will always take care of you. He's very kind, He's very faithful, and He knows exactly what you need. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're out of His way. And He can do everything for you. There's no limit, nothing too big, nothing too small. There's no limit with what the Holy Spirit's willing to do for you. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.